America should be grateful to God for the blessings he's given us.
Don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her.
We have got to fight for this nation because I believe with all my heart this nation is in fact one nation under God.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. It's great to be here. Somebody called me about what they think is a mix-up. It's not a mix-up. It's a change in... So they say we have one listed as a financial. It's not a financial. It's an IT. But it's my fault. I have a symbol listed wrong on the one that's the financial. I have it listed, and I just try to change it, and I can't. It keeps defaulting back to the one that's the IT. So I must have put it in there. It defaulted to the same one as IT, and I never knew that. Didn't go back and look at it. But the one that is the IT that he says isn't a financial, in fact, the symbol of the financial is the first two letters of the three-letter symbol of the IT one. But I can't change. I can't change it. I'm having some sort of gremlin in there that is not allowing me to do it. So I'm on it. I'll just say that. How's that? Okay. So we're working on it. Well, not working on it right now, but we will. So anyway, that's what happened with that. If it's funny, nobody else has picked that up, but we'll check that out.
You have eagle eye listeners.
Yeah, I mean, they keep me straight. You know, they make so many, they pick up so many of the typos that somebody makes, either me or somebody else. You know, they're usually on it. And I never mind that. I'm always glad when they point that out. And unfortunately, they're 98% right. Yep. The one thing that happens all the time is our portfolio tracker. People say it's not taking it. 98% of the time, they're wrong. They're typing something in wrong, you know, or mixing up a symbol, and that happens all the time. So, anyway, that's. I just wanted to. Somebody put that up on Facebook, so I wanted to clear that up. Folks, speaking of Facebook, you can put your comments up there on Facebook. We'd love to see that. Or on our website, financialissues.org. If you're watching on financialissues.org, you can throw that up there. We'd love to hear from you. Vanessa saying good morning. Thank you. And I'm going to say Aaron. I don't know, but I know that's not right. He's got a question. We'll get to that. And, but anyway. Somebody is saying that CNN apologizes to Stalin and Mao after comparing them to Trump. CNN is just a worth. You know what? What was the article from?
Satire.
Okay. All right. So we won't place a lot of validity to that. But nonetheless. All I can say about CNN and MSNBC and those, if thankfully they have a lot of people that work there, and those people have families, because if they didn't, they'd have no viewers, because I don't know that, you know, it's all that family and friends watching them. Anyway, it's terrible. It's pathetic. Might as well throw that dig in there while I got an opportunity. Anyway, we were talking earlier about oil, and we've got oil prices. EIA numbers should be out any minute. I think they come out at 15 after the hour. So as soon as the ag report is finished up, we should have those EIA numbers. We'll get a look at those, and I'll report them. We'll see. I'm anxious to see what the crude oil inventories were. Remember, they were down last week, and I talked about it at some length about that. Also, gasoline inventories were down. So that's what I'm really anxious to see, because if they continue to get somewhat out of balance and go down, gasoline I'm talking about, gasoline inventories go down, then we could start to see gasoline prices inch up a little bit. That's not good, but it is good in the sense that it is indicating that the economy is strong and people are still spending. Goes back to what we were talking about earlier with people spending. And, you know, gasoline is a very important key to the strength of the economy, because for every penny it goes up or down, it's about $10 million or $10 billion out of the economy, believe it or not. It's an amazing amount of money. So when it goes up 5 or 6 cents, it's an awful lot of money that is going into the gas tank, as opposed to being in the hands of people to spend through the economy. And that's why we call gasoline prices going up a tax on consumer, because it acts the same way. It takes money out of the pockets of consumers as far as their discretionary income goes. So we'll see what those inventory numbers look like. We've got Craig Hager coming up with our ag report. And I think the ag commodities are probably just continue. I've been saying this for about 3 months. Every month get a little bit more important to what is going on. We have seen we have seen food prices come down throughout. Not so much. I mean, the dairy can't get much lower than it is. Dairy, butter, ice cream, they've been pretty stable. But they haven't come screaming down, because we've had diesel prices that have remained fairly high. So delivery and getting things to the store hasn't gone down at all by any stretch. All right, here comes Craig Haggart with our ag report, and then we'll get right back. We're going to go to phone as soon as we get back. We'll be back right after Craig, right after this. Or not. Okay, so we don't have our ag report. I thought that delay was a little bit too long. We must have had a computer freeze. So I apologize for that. All right. We will maybe we'll do the ag this time next hour once we get that reset. So I apologize for that. I'm not going to look at, I guess I probably should, but, you know, we look at the markets. We've got a mixed bag. Everything is slightly positive. I don't even want to say that. We're sitting on the flat line right now in the markets. Nothing's really, it is green for the most part, but a very, very small amount, less than 1/8 of 1%, any kind of movement, either up or down. The NASDAQ is negative slightly, but the S&P, the small cap index, the Russell's, and the Dow Jones, slightly positive and very slight. But again, we'll wait and see what the last half hour of the day is going to look like. Volume has been pretty consistent throughout the week. We haven't seen an unusually low or an unusually high volume. So that's good. It's been fairly normal. So we're not seeing any conviction on the downside or in the upside. We had some selling yesterday. If you were to look at the media, particularly in the EU and here in the US, if you looked at that today, you would have thought there was about a 1,000-point sell-off yesterday in the markets. I'm serious. That's what you would have thought. If you would have just looked at headlines, I want to say, if you would have read the first paragraph, if you skimmed the article without seeing numbers, because so many of those articles didn't have any numbers. They just talked about the downturn, but they made it sound like it was, you know, it was a 1,000-point drop when it was a 0.5%. So we're almost halfway there now to gaining back what we gave up yesterday. So, I mean, it's not that big a deal. If we don't have market moves over 1% with numbers this high, not a big deal, and not something that we're going to worry about. It's very interesting when we look at dividend-producing stocks. These dividend-producing stocks are gaining so much ground. What we're seeing is utilities, real estate investment trust really picked up. I'm getting emails and calls from people that say, my preferred stocks are up. They would fall into that safety category. People looking for a return on yield to make up, you know, annual yield to make up for what they're not getting in value of the stock. So I don't think that's going to change much. Probably going to continue for the rest of the year. That's what it looks like. We'll be right back when we get to your calls right after this. Welcome back, Financial Issues. We're going to get right to phone. 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. Let me go to Shane. Shane's calling us from North Carolina. Hey, Shane.
How you going, Dan?
Good.
Hey, I've just got two quick questions. I'm a young person. I'm 29 years old. I've been medically retired from the military, so I have that source of income. I currently work for an employer that offers retirement, and I'm paying into that, and I have a 401k also. But my question was, what are your thoughts or ideas on investing into precious metals for long term? And what do you make of it when the price of those metals spike like they did after the 2008 recession?
Well, that spike didn't last real long, but right after the 2008 recession, there were people, you know, again, it was not a flight to safety. It was much more driven by central bankers. And I don't mean the Federal Reserve, mostly foreign banks. So we saw a lot of buying going on as some sort of hedge or protection by some central banks. So China, some of the Eastern European nations, and others, Russia, you know, buying up some gold, taking it off the market because of what had happened. And in their case, they were anticipating, remember, they lagged behind us going into recession. So they were preparing for that. They knew it was coming. Unlike we got hit by a little bit of a surprise there after the October Lehman Brothers scare. So that's what it was. This time, gold is spiking. Some would say, and I'm just throw out my observations based on what I've been seeing. But so some are saying, yeah, this is inflationary. Gold is a safety trade. And we see people flocking into gold like they always have for the last 75 years, that it's safety. They're going in there for safety. I would disagree with that. We're seeing right now is, again, mostly Asia, China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, those three alone, begin to hoard gold. They're hoarding it. I don't know if this has been in the media or not. I guess I should know this. I don't. But I know for a fact, because it's been in data, it's just not been in the media, that China has banned all gold from leaving China. So no gold can leave China right now. So all of that has put some fear in, and they're hoarding it. Now, the reason China did that was because they don't want their wealth leaving the country, which is going to happen anyway. They're not going to stop it, and it's already started to happen. So what they did was to, instead of allowing their corporations or their billionaires take the wealth out of the country by converting it to gold, that's often how they do it, they've banned that, so they're not allowed to do it. So now they are going and converting it the best way they can to U.S. dollars to take it out of the country, hence our bond yield dropping and the inflows into our bond market, our U.S. treasuries. So all of that has impacted the price of gold, because what it's done is perceived, I don't really think it's an actual, but a perceived loss of supply of gold at a time when there is demand. So, you know, it's a little bit of a different circumstance than it was after 2008, but nonetheless, that's what's happening. Gold has become very geopolitical driven. In a lot of ways, I don't like that. I'm not a fan of precious metals. I am particularly not a fan of precious metals for somebody as young as you, because, you know, for every time somebody says gold, you know, is outperformed a stock or the markets, I can give you literally off the top of my head 200 companies that have outperformed gold every single year for the last 32 years. I mean, it is ridiculous. It's the dumbest statement. I mean, I know what they're doing. They are comparing, I'm making this up, by the way, this date, these dates, but they're comparing gold price on March 5th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in 2010 to the market on October 7th, I'll use a real number, to February 2nd, 2008. That's what, or it's 2018. That's what they're comparing it to. And so, you know, you can make a case for the indice, yeah, dropped. What they don't compare it to is on February 2nd, when the market crashed, it was recovered on February 15th. They don't say when gold crashed, it took 20 years to get back up to it, what it was. I don't know why anybody that would want to invest in any speculative commodity. Somebody's mad right now because there's a guy that always hassles me when I say speculative commodity. But that's what it is. But I don't know why anybody would want to invest in any investment. That I wouldn't invest in a stock that has had periods of time where it took 20 years to recover from its last loss. Maybe it was back in the 70s. Maybe it was back in the 80s. Maybe it was back in the 90s. But I wouldn't invest in that because something's wrong. Something's wrong. I would have to really check the fundamentals of that company, what they do, how they do it, why they do it. But yet we'll do that with gold all the time. We think of it as a safety play. But just like China said, hey, all your gold. Now, in China also, it's forbidden to own silver. You can't own silver in China because they need it for all their electronics, and they don't want people hoarding it. So just like China did it, a communist regime, we don't even have to pass legislation to do it because we have a law in the book from 1935. We can just say at any given time, if we wanted to, that you can't trade gold. You have to stop trading gold. You can't do it anymore. And that so-called alternative currency is no longer viable. And that's what would happen if the sky falls. If we have an economic Armageddon, I tell people all the time, if you think that your gold is going to save you, you are living in the twilight zone and just are buying into all the blogs and all the gold salesmen. Because let me tell you, there is no way on God's green earth that the U.S. dollar is going to collapse and then the government is going to allow an alternative currency to collapse it even further. It's never going to happen. It's not logical, and they're never going to do it. And so what everybody that's hoarding gold to protect them for that, and I'm not saying you're going to do that, to protect them from that, is going to be getting rid of that gold on the black market for anything they can get so they can get some of the worthless dollars they were trying to avoid in the first place. And people just can't grasp onto the concept, the logical concept of that. They hold on tight to the illogical idea of what's going to happen. Now, I will say this. Will gold be, I don't know, $10,000 an ounce? Yes, it will be. That part of it is true. Will be $10,000 an ounce? Yes. But unless you can get on your private jet and get to Hong Kong or somewhere like that overnight before it collapses there and sell it, you're not going to get $10,000 an ounce for it. It's not going to be $20,000 an ounce. It's worthless if you can't get rid of it and you can't use it. So I would just tell, and I would say this to you or any young person that wants to buy it. If you are buying a speculative commodity, whether it's iron ore, whether it is coffee futures, whether it's gold, and you say, I believe, you believe that this commodity is going to gain in value over the next 10 years in dramatic fashion. Because everything is pointing to a coffee shortage. Everything is pointing to a sugar shortage. Everything is pointing to a gold demand or something like that with lack of supply and all those kind. And that's the reason. And you practice good strategies in the sense that it goes up $20 an ounce and you sell it and take a profit and you actually make money from it. In 2013, I sold half of my gold silver. So I had some silver. It was probably 2% of my portfolio. But I don't know if you remember, in 2013, silver went up. They were predicting it was going to reach an all-time high, which would have been just over $60 an ounce. So I sold my silver at $44 because I had paid an average of about $12 to $13 an ounce. I sold it for 44. Now the silver I have, I basically don't have any basis on it. I don't care what it does, but I, you know, I took the profit and I got rid of it. And, but we don't do that. Now it went up to 58. So I could say, oh man, I should have waited. But a good investor never gets out on the top and they never get in at the bottom. They get in on the way up, you know, and I'm saying 44, I'm not taking any chances. I'm taking it. But if you're going to do that, and if you think like that, and you have the ability to do that, because remember, gold and silver, precious metals, are a slow, they're a fast trade, but a slow sell. So it, you can buy it fast, but you can't sell it quick. Not if you own the physical, and you should only have it if you're going to own the physical. It's slow to get rid of. It's hard to get rid of, and it moves very fast. So it might go up to $38 an ounce tonight, but by the time you get around to selling it, it wouldn't be unusual if it were back down to $16 an ounce. And that's the problem with it. And you're going to pay a huge commission to sell it. So I don't, if you want to have some sort of, like I do, 2%, 3% in that kind of commodity, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But I wouldn't want you, as young as you are, because you're going to make a lot of money someday. You're going to have a very big retirement account, I'm sure of it, because you're starting so young. You're in a great place because you're investing now. You're going to be in really good shape if you stick with good, solid companies. You don't have to take a lot of risk to be a multimillionaire when you retire. We'll be right back after this. I don't want you to think I just hung up on Shane. I didn't. I followed up with him there during the break just to make sure he didn't have a follow-up question. And he was talking a little bit about silver as something he wanted to do, and I want to share this with you. So I went on to explain to him, well, that's why I have silver, because the thing about silver is it's got an industrial use. Gold is starting to get, believe it or not, a little bit of an industrial use. I believe in, man, if you're one of those like really sharp tech guys that is really into all this stuff, don't call me and reprimand me, because I'm not really that up on this stuff. But I believe that they found some properties in gold that even make it a faster conduit than silver is, you know, they found it maybe to be more pure or something like that. So there may be in the future a little even bit more industrial use for gold.
That'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Very interesting.
So the Queen, what happened with the Queen?
Speaking of interesting, it just during the break, it just came on my news hit for those that follow things going on. If y'all remember, Dan said earlier he spent a lot of time in the Eurozone this morning. The Queen has approved Boris's request to suspend Parliament.
Wow.
So that very interesting.
So the Queen has to approve the suspension of Parliament. Why? Because she has authority. No, that's not why. She has Zippo authority. It's purely the proper thing to do. It is carrying on the parliamentary procedures when royalty did rule. And they're, you know, The UK is great with their tradition and all that stuff. I think it's all kind of ridiculous, but I'm an American, so of course I would.
Yep.
But the prime minister, when he wants to suspend parliament like he did, he has to give a speech. It gives him the right to make a speech to the Queen. So he made his speech, apparently, and she approved. Yep. But she was going to approve, but he did the proper thing. He made the speech. She approved. They suspended Parliament for 5... No, wait. I think it's 5 or 6 weeks,
right,
that's suspension. I'm not sure. But I do know this. It's got to be a little longer than that because, 5 weeks would take him to the end of October, right, just about. So, 5 weeks. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, which means that we can now see what the Eurozone will say, a disorderly exit from Brexit. So this is a Brexit without every little ot dyed and teed cross. Things like trade deals with the U.S. More importantly than that, trade deals with Germany, trade deals with France, trade deals with Northern Europe, with Italy. So it leaves them, by going out disorderly without these trade deals, when this is just me momentarily speaking as a conspiracy kind of thing. But I believe, though, that there was a very, very intentional case for these Euro nations to not cozy up to Theresa May and make these deals. She was trying hard to create an orderly Brexit. That's what she wanted to do.
She was.
And they weren't going along with it because the European Union, the globalists like Macron, they don't want Brexit to happen. And it's very simple because they know what I know. It's going to be good for Great Britain in the long run. This is going to be a very good thing. Now, there's going to be the big rub here is going to be Scotland and Ireland. There's going to be some issues there with the UK. I'm not sure how that's all going to play out in the next 5 weeks. But this is going to be a very good thing for the UK. And I was so annoyed at Parliament because they had no faith in the UK people. If I was part of the UK, if I lived there, I would want to run them out because, you know, how dare you say that we can't handle this? You know, and they can. They can more than handle. Remember, London is the New York City of America. This is the financial center of the Eurozone is London. And yeah, there are some financial firms that are moving, that have already moved out. In anticipation of this, but it's not going to have an impact. But here's the worst part about it. It's going to be successful. My prediction is Denmark is going to be next. That's been my prediction for 4 years. I really, in my heart of hearts, probably think, I'm thinking now it might not be, but I don't want to go back on what I originally said, so I'm going to stick to it. But I think Denmark is primed to be the next country that is going to leave. They are poised very, very well to be able to do that. You know, the countries that got to leave are the ones that still have their own currency intact. They're not a part of the Euro block of currency. And Denmark has already made overtures to the fact that they will want to move. And I wouldn't be surprised if they exit out. So that's what they're trying to avoid, because then the already, in my opinion, failed experiment of the Eurozone is going to crumble. It's going to start to fall apart. So we'll see. But that's good. I think that's good news. And I know Donald Trump right now is just foaming out the mouth because he wishes so much he could suspend
Congress.
He could
do the same thing.
Well, if I could just get close down D.C. and do what I want, as a businessman, he'd get some things done. But anyway, can't do that here in America. Anyway, which is a good thing, by the way. All right, 610-363-1110. Let me go to Randy in Florida. Hey, Randy.
Hi, Dan. Can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha.
HSA account. Been in CDs. I got a lot of money in it, and I'm thinking about investing it since the rates are tanking for the next few years probably. What do you think?
Yeah, are you still adding to it? You add to your HSA?
Yeah, every month.
And how, so let's say you have a $10,000 deductible. Do you have, do you have more than $20,000 in there? Or more?
Oh, yeah, I got,
do you have more than double what your deductible would be?
Oh, yeah, I got like $175 in there.
Okay. Yeah, definitely invest it. Not all of it. So I want you to keep, I want you to, do you have a family, Randy?
It's just me and my wife.
Okay. So whatever the deductible would be on your wife and on you, because they're separate, as you know. So if you had a car accident or a wreck or a catastrophe of some sort where you both in the same year had to have medical attention, and you both used up your deductible, don't go less than 2 years of that amount of money in CDs in your account. You know what I, do you follow that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And the rest of it, I would look at some of the foundational only stocks on the list and maybe a few income stocks like some of the utilities, maybe one or two of the real estate investment trust and the preferreds for the rest of it. And I think that's going to do you much, much more good from a return perspective.
Okay.
All right.
That's what I was thinking. Thank you.
All right, Randy. I'm glad you called. Good stuff. Let me go to Maria in Indiana. Hey, Maria.
Hi, Dan. This is Maria, your favorite obstetrician.
Hi, Maria.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm very good, but I'm also following everything that you're saying, and I am on a position of fearlessness. But I think that as a family, we started discussing the Social Security as it related to Yellen. Because Yellen, did she not say that the inverted yield curve prediction will not work because of the fundamentals of the economy? And so, therefore, this is how I think, and I want you to comment about it and see if my plan is going to work out. She said something to the effect that that's the case. And then I think that if there will be a market downturn, it will be something that is created by the fear of the stockholders taking out their money like it did in the past. And I think this coincides with people being pressured by the length of the bull market. Everybody, as it is going, it's going up. Remember, it has not been down to the time when before the triumph of Trump.
Yeah.
It has always been up. And so I think people are impatient, and they want to move and waiting with any excuse to get their money out of the market. But I think that will be kind of self-fulfilling, I think. And so also my colleagues who are all Democrats, physicians who are mostly Democrats, are buying into the CNN thing about millionaires taking their money out.
Yeah.
But my family were discussing about the Social Security because we are all in a position where we can wait. We thought that if we waited, we could use it as a safety net if the market indeed comes down.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You know what, Maria, I am going to put you on hold because I'm up against this break, and I'll come back to you as soon as we get off the break and give you my thoughts about it. Thank you. Hold on. Folks, we'll be right back. 610-363-1110. We got another hour and 15 minutes. Hope you'll join us.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia. We're on the phone, 610-363-1110. 610-363-1110. It's kind of nice having Bruce here, Bruce Shaw, with me for today and tomorrow. And just during the break, we get to talk about some things and look at some things. Anyway, we're talking to Marie, and so Maria, and Maria is talking about the yield curve and concern, I guess, in reference to a couple things. And when you say, Maria, Social Security, are you worrying about the yield curve hurting Social Security and it's not going to be there? I'm not sure what you mean by that.
No, I'm not. We are not worried about that as a family because there's my two siblings and myself.
Uh-huh.
We did all the fundamentals that you were talking about. So we are in a position to wait. So what we're doing is we're waiting, but there are some people who are telling us that but you should get it already. You might not have it. But I said to myself, you know what? If you don't need it, you don't have to have it.
Right.
If you die, like you say. But I think now, as I was connecting it with, because I think we cannot really control the behavior of other stockholders, and we cannot blame them for whatever their actions are.
Yeah.
But I think that should the market, I don't believe that the downturn that we will have will be like those in the past, because our economy is different now.
Yes.
I mean, Walmart, there's no time in Walmart that there is not a person there.
Right.
People are always shopping.
Bruce and I were talking about that earlier. It's true. But, you know, you're absolutely right in what you're thinking and how you're thinking. So I would put all that other noise aside. People have been saying that for 30 years, you better take it now. And I don't believe that is true. I wouldn't be concerned about it. You're doing the right thing. The other thing is, when you look at CNN and, well, I won't even point mm-hmm. them out, all the mainstream media, mm-hmm. they're saying all the things that have happened every single time that we have had volatility, uncertainty, geopolitical events or recessions. Every single time. This is nothing new. Now they're framing it in such a way that, oh my word, you know, this has never happened before, and we can see that we know this is going to happen. I might add too that this very thing that's happened now has happened four times last year. Started on February 2nd. It happened three other times when we had mm-hmm. the exact same thing. We had six inversions of the yield curve. Nobody seems to be talking about that. So mm-hmm. if it happened then and we're still not into recession, what's it going to take? Look, the point is, it's always going to happen, Maria. This is what human nature does. And what I try, and you know this better than anybody, because you're not just a listener, you're taking to heart what we should be doing and paying attention. But it is, you know, counterintuitive for people to take the pain when it comes to their dollars. It's just, they don't want to do it. They'll take pain and everything else, but not my money. Don't mess with my money. And this has been going on since the beginning of time, I suspect. So it's always happening. It's no different this time, except, at least compared to 2008, it is very different because we have such sound fundamentals. So there isn't as much logic to it happening now and predicting recession as it was in 2008. And so it's different in that way, but that's a positive. I will say, and I've avoided talking about this, but I was going to bring it up on our conference call, and I'm still going to bring it up in greater detail, but our biggest threat right now to our long-term health of the economy because of inverted yield curves, the biggest threat that nobody, I don't know what news things you want, but you haven't heard anybody talk about this, and I wasn't going to either, but the biggest threat that nobody is counting for, nobody is watching this unintended consequence, is pension funds in America. So pension funds, Social Security, with a yield curve down like it is, they are already in big trouble. Illinois is basically bankrupt. California basically bankrupt. I'm just off the top of my head picking some states, but there is a lot of states that are in big, big trouble in their pension funds. There's a lot of unions, big, big trouble in their pension funds. They have a double whammy, the unions, because they pay exorbitant fees to manage, because for reasons I won't go into, but they pay exorbitant fees. And so you've got, in 2008, these pension funds learned that this 7.5% gauge that they use to manage their pension funds, it wasn't such a good idea because we may never see that again. So they dropped it back to 6.5. Now, when you hear me talk about people trying to get income, I usually say, look, if you can get 5% and you can live off 5%, you're never going to have any problems. But I would never say 7%, and I don't think I'd say 6.5%, because it's harder to do. And these pension funds are trying to make up for years of mismanagement. And so if the unintended consequence of a prolonged, not yield curve inversion, but a low yield on treasuries and CDs and other things, the unintended consequence is we better be prepared, the PBOC, the government organization that is going to have to ante up something for these failed pension funds, they had better be prepared, because this is going to be a nightmare. And when everybody talks about the Fed lowering rates and rates going down, nobody's even thinking 3 years out. They're not thinking 3 weeks out. Nobody is thinking what it's going to do to our economy down the road, because we have multi-billion dollar pension funds, California being the biggest in the world. Remember, California is the eighth largest economy in the world. Think about that. There's only 7 countries in the world that have a bigger economy than California alone. And when you think about the chaos and the problems that this could cause, it is scary. I not only have thought about it, I have had the nerve to work some calculations that I would be afraid to share with everybody. It is scary what could happen. Here's the problem that the Federal Reserve and banks are having. So we need low interest so that we are servicing our $20 trillion worth of debt as cheaply as we possibly can. So the Treasury Department does not want rates going up, because they're trying to stay afloat on our debt. That's one problem. And then you've got pension funds that have the opposite problem. They need rates to stabilize and get somewhat normalized so that they can survive. And so we're trying to weigh this balance. So we have some government officials saying we need to cut rates. We need to trash our dollar, you know, lower the value of our dollar. It is going to be a nightmare for the economy down the road when that comes home to roost inside of these pension funds. So there is reason, but that's not why everybody's exiting. They're not, you know, the millionaires that are all getting out, they're not even thinking of that because they don't need to. They're not depending upon a pension. They're not, that's the last thing on their mind. They don't care about that. They're doing it strictly out of fear. Let them do it. Or they're doing it because of what I wrote about and said in 2009. And in 2009, I said, the baby boomer generation is never going to do this again because they've already suffered five downturns in their 401ks, IRAs, and they're not going to take the risk with their principal again. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen. These people are saying, I've seen this drop before. I was younger then. And remember, the baby boomers control most of the wealth of the nation. And we need to know that. So they're saying now, I'm getting my money out. And not only am I getting it out, I'm not going back in. This is too risky. I'm 65. I'm 70. I'm 75. I need to start thinking about retiring. I can't afford for the market to cut my principal down 30% because I'm not going to have a chance to make it back up again. So there's a lot of things going on. But you have a great plan, a great strategy, a great mentality that you have developed over these years of listening and paying attention and doing. Hang in there. Don't worry about it. Don't follow the herd. Don't listen to them. I got to run. I'm sorry, Maria, but thank you as usual for your support and your call. Folks, if you've got to leave us, I hope you have a wonderful day. Remember, all that you have is His. It's all the Lord's. Let's stand before Him someday and be a good and faithful steward. We've got another hour of financial issues coming up right after this. We'll be back.
Jesus said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up the cross, follow me. It's not your money I want your heart.
Thank you for joining us. This has been an FISM production.